Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session of today's call. At that time, if you would like to ask a question, you may do so by pressing star 1. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, please disconnect at this time. I now would like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Farnan Chahinan. You may begin.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon. There's a little bit of an echo. Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Farnan Chahinan, Assistant Director of the National Science Foundation for Computer Information Science and Engineering. With me here are Angelos Kouromitis and David Corman. It's also our pleasure to have Chris Ramming, John Manfredelli, and also Wenhan Wang of Intel joining us by phone. I want to very much thank our colleagues from Intel and appreciate their partnership in this endeavor. On behalf of all of us here at NSF at Intel, it's my great pleasure to welcome you to this webinar to learn about our joint partnership on the cyber-physical system security and privacy solicitation. As all of you know, as automation and information technology pervade new platforms, cyber-physical systems have become ubiquitous in our everyday lives. CPS technology is transforming the way people interact with engineered systems, just as the same way that the Internet had transformed the way people interact with information. These systems grow increasingly complex each year. They fly our airplanes, control our power grids, run our medical devices, and as the Internet of Things becomes more pervasive, they also control our household appliances, controlling our thermostats, lights, and even the locks on our doors. Advances in cyber-physical systems hold the potential to reshape our world and with more responsive, more precise, reliable, efficient, and secure systems. These advances are closely intertwined and will have pervasive impact upon many of our societal priorities, from smart systems for manufacturing and robotics, to emergency response, to healthcare, transportation, energy networks, infrastructure, and the list goes on. Since its inception in 2009, the NSF Cyber Physical Systems Program has sought to deeply integrate computation, communication, and control into physical systems, enabling smart systems with cyber technologies, both hardware and software, that deeply are embedded in and interact with physical components, and that sense and ultimately change the state of the real world. Within NSF, we recognize that achieving the next generation of cyber-physical systems requires bringing together experts from many different sectors and disciplines. For example, the 2014 CPS solicitation for the first time constituted a multi-agency effort. We're really excited about that and hoping to grow that. It involves NSF as well as our partners at the Department of Homeland Security, Science and Technology Directorate, and two different divisions within the Department of Transportation that are also involved in this activity. And to fortify the adoption of CPS across sectors, we know that we must address how can we build and verify systems upon which people can and will bet their lives, which is why we've worked closely with our colleagues over the last several months to build a partnership with Intel to advance the security of CPS, particularly in the context of socio-technical aspects. We're very pleased to introduce you to the cyber-physical system security and privacy solicitation through today's webinar. We all recognize that a key challenge for current and emerging cyber-physical systems is to ensure the security of these systems, the infrastructure they form, and those integrated with them. Through the CPS security solicitation, we aim to foster a multidisciplinary research community at the confluence of cybersecurity, privacy, and cyber-physical systems. We also aim to transition research findings into engineering practices. This partnership builds on strong collaboration between NSF and Intel. It will combine NSF's experience of developing and managing successful, large, diverse portfolios with Intel's long history of building research communities in emerging technology areas. Let me take a moment to thank my colleagues at NSF, including Keith Marzullo, Fen Zhao, Angelos, and David, and also thank Wenhan and Chris for their leadership, and John for his contribution and facilitation of this effort. Let me now turn it over to Wen Han for a few words. Wen Han?
Thank you, Fallon. I'd just like to speak briefly at a higher level about the importance of CPS and the security of current and emerging cyber physical systems. At Intel, we have embraced a mission to create and extend computing technology to connect and enrich the lives of every person on Earth. As the lines between embedded, mobile, personal, and cloud computing become ever more blurred, we find ourselves on the verge of realizing a vision where it is natural to think about the remarkable benefits in terms of new function, efficiency, and convenience that could accrue if we are able to develop reliable computing systems that both deeply sense and interact with the real world. In some ways, the trend towards CPS has already emerged and is becoming more of a reality with every passing day on the strength of the opportunities. But because of the fact that this system interacts with the real world, the power grid, transportation, healthcare, the opportunity to do good is balanced almost equally by the potential for accidental or even intentional harm if the users run ahead of our ability to secure and protect these systems and their users. What we would like to do now with the NSF community is pause and think deeply with the community's thought, with the community's thought leaders about new ways to protect these systems and build security and privacy into the foundation of cyber-physical systems going forward. This collaboration is designed to combine the NSF's strength with Intel's capabilities. What we hope to contribute to the amazing NSF community includes both insight into current industry trends and capabilities, as well as a partnership for bringing big insights and ideas into practice. However, this program designed to do more than just combine academia and industry to increase the odds that discoveries will become innovations. We believe that security and privacy, especially for cyber-physical systems, are not just technical issues that will admit of purely technical solutions. Therefore, we have designed this solicitation to create research that will span technology, social, policy, and economic disciplines in order to increase the odds of developing a holistic perspective and solutions that will truly comprehend the full range of opportunities and challenges. What we hope and expect is that the CPS security community will be bold and that it will swing for the fence with game-changing ideas. In the same way that our grandparents saw the introduction of an aviation industry so safe it can be taken for nearly for granted, we would like cyber-physical system to have a profound impact that's equally taken for granted by our grandchildren. To make that possible, we will need a few people willing to step back and look at some non-incremental, non-linear new directions in security and privacy. We are hoping that is why all of you are on this call, and we really look forward to learning more about your perspectives and then working together to make a huge difference. Thanks for joining us on this wonderful adventure. So let me now turn things over to Dr. Angelos Terametis on NSF. will continue the webinar and offer more detail about this program. Thank you.
Thank you, Wenhan. Welcome, everyone. We will begin our discussion of this partnership and the motivations behind it. We will then discuss the security challenges behind cyber-physical systems and the need for this program. Because Intel will be an active participant in this process, as you have heard, we will carefully highlight the special aspects of program administration and proposal selection. We will focus in particular on how it differs from proposal administration for the nominal SATC and CPS programs, the different types of proposals in this program, and also the Ideas Lab. We'll close out our prepared remarks on questions that we think the community might ask about the program, and then open the discussion to anyone on the webinar. As a reminder, these slides will be posted to the NSF website after the conclusion of this webinar. We're going to try to keep this to about an hour, but we can stay longer if needed for Q&A. NSF and Intel have come together to fund and support research at the intersection of cyber-physical systems and security and privacy. By bringing together their resources and expertise, NSF and Intel hope to both fund fundamental research in making cyber-physical systems more trustworthy and secure, but also to help develop a community of researchers interested in this specific area. From NSF's perspective, our partnership with Intel can provide researchers, such as you, with greater insight and access to industry needs, capabilities, and resources, and will facilitate transition of research outcomes to practice. Since we are trying to bring together two different communities, it is worthwhile clarifying this intersection space. One of its key components, cyber-physical systems, describes socio-technical systems in which the cyber and physical elements are tightly integrated at all scales and levels. Cyber refers to computation, communication, and control elements that are discrete, logical, and switched. Physical refers to natural and human-made systems governed by the laws of physical and operating in continuous time. Now, cyber-physical systems have characteristics that make them a very challenging domain, especially from a security and privacy point of view. These characteristics include the close integration of cyber capabilities in every physical component, scale at which many cyber-physical system-enabled infrastructures are designed and operate, and the complex interactions among the components that are highly and sometimes fully automated. An additional level of complexity arises from the sometimes unconventional computation and physical substrates in which such systems operate. All these factors make the design, analysis, and operation of these systems challenging, even absent any security and privacy concerns. Cyber-physical systems are fundamental elements of real systems that we interact with every day, including, as you heard earlier, transportation, energy, medical, and others. This means that their operation must be significantly more dependable than state of affairs it currently is with general computing. In some cases, such systems must be certified for use due to policy or legal reasons. Now, through its CPS program, NSF has been supporting the development of the core system science needed to engineer complex cyber-physical systems on which people can depend with high confidence. That program aims to foster a research community committed to advancing research and education in CPS and to transitioning CPS science and technology into engineering practice. By abstracting from the particulars of specific systems and application domains, the CPS program aims to reveal cross-cutting fundamental scientific and engineering principles that underpin the integration of cyber and physical elements across all application sectors. Security has long been identified by NSF as a key cross-cutting fundamental research interest in CPS. There is good reason for this interest, starting from the fact that CPS inherits all the security and privacy concerns that are inherent in the traditional cyber systems. There are a number of additional issues that make securing cyber-physical systems both challenging and important. Cyber-physical systems sense and collect information related to a large spectrum of everyday human activities, including in our own homes. Similarly, they control infrastructure that we as humans interact with on a daily basis. Such interaction often has life-critical implications, especially when actions taken by cyber-physical systems are non-reversible. Cyber-physical systems are often federated into networks of extremely large size and complexity, and at the same time are deeply embedded and almost hidden in our infrastructures. Their fully automated interactions often lead to emergent behaviors, which are almost invariably undesirable from a security and privacy perspective. Such systems often rely on subtle and brittle assumptions of the interface boundaries among hardware and software components and with human operators and maintainers. This also brings to the fore the fact that cyber-physical systems typically operate in multi-stakeholder environments where the participants have varying degrees of expertise and control over these systems. Despite this, there is limited scope for interaction with humans who could otherwise act as arbitrators in security decisions. Finally, cyber-physical systems must operate under varying economic and policy constraints. Any approach to securing such systems must take into consideration, along with the social norms that organically emerge after such systems are fielded and operated. All these factors complicate the design, analysis, understanding, and ultimately the trustworthiness of the current generation of cyber-physical systems. So the question is, with all these challenges in place, how can we enable secure and private cyber-physical systems without sacrificing the benefits that come from this integration of automated sensing and actuating with the physical environment? The goal of the CTS security program is to foster transformative, multidisciplinary approaches that address the problem of securing current and emerging cyber-physical systems, the infrastructures they form, and those infrastructures that are integrated with them. Specific objectives of the program include understanding the range of technical issues affecting hardware and software and infrastructure components and their integration in socio-technical systems, and developing an understanding of the interplay between key technical, social, and policy aspects. CTS Security is interested in receiving proposals on any idea that addresses these goals and objectives. Some topics of interest to the CTS Security program include, but are not limited to, security architectures for CTS, tools and methodologies for secure CTS development, verification, and analysis, current and future threat assessment and countermeasures, balance of technical solutions, regulation, and policy incentives to enhance privacy and security, and the effective, secure, and reliable control in centralized and decentralized systems. We will now discuss some of the important details in the solicitation. The main topics here revolve around the Ideas Lab and the two types of full proposals invited by the solicitation. I will remind everyone that only U.S. universities and colleges are eligible to submit. Now, we view the Ideas Lab as a precursor to the submission of full proposals. However, participation in the Ideas Lab is not required for submission to full proposals. Now, the goal of the Ideas Lab is to identify and develop novel ideas at the intersection of cyber-physical systems and cybersecurity, and to assist in the establishment of research partnerships. Participation to the Ideas Lab will be by invitation only. These invitations will be based on preliminary proposals that must be submitted prior to the Ideas Lab. Submission of the preliminary proposals, as I said, is required for participation in the Ideas Lab, and the deadline for these preliminary proposals is July 29. Submission may only be made via Fastlane. The preliminary proposals may have only individual PIs, no collaborative proposals are permitted, and are limited to two pages of project description, a biographical sketch, and a description of current and pending support. All other elements of regular NSF proposals, such as the summary or the budget, are waived. Proposers must follow specific guidelines for the content of the two pages of project description. You can see the solicitation for details. Responses to the preliminary proposals, which will include, in some cases, invitations to the Ideas Lab, will be sent out by August 5th. The Ideas Lab itself is an intensive 5-day residential workshop that will use a real-time iterative review process to develop research ideas. The participants will be assisted by a team of professional facilitators and a group of mentors. The mentors will be senior researchers with relevant expertise who will help guide the technical discussions. We expect 20 to 30 participants in the Ideas Lab. The date for the event has been fixed to August 12th through the 16th in the greater Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. For those invited to participate in the Ideas Lab, NSF will cover the travel expenses. Note that submission of a preliminary proposal implies a commitment by the TI to attend the full 5 day Ideas Lab if invited. Now, following the Ideas Lab, the mentor team will provide recommendations to NSF about specific ideas developed in the Ideas Lab. Within 2 weeks from the conclusion of the Ideas Lab, NSF will determine which participant teams will be invited to submit full proposals and will notify the participants by email. Note that such an invitation does not imply a guarantee to fund. Also note that non-invited ideas that were developed in the Ideas Lab can still be submitted as full proposal, and I will again repeat that participation in the Ideas Lab is not required for submitting a full proposal to this solicitation. So let's move now into the logistics of the program. Full proposals to this joint program will be submitted to NSF with the following requirements. All proposals will be up to 3 years with a total award value of either $500,000 for breakthrough proposals and $3 million for synergy proposals. The submission deadline for both types of proposals is 5 p.m. proposals local time on October 28th. The title for proposals should start with the prefix breakthrough or synergy as appropriate, and only two proposals per PI or co-PI to CPS security are allowed. Note that this limit is separate and distinct from the SATC and CPS program limits. No proposal containing or referencing classified material will be accepted. Proposals must follow all the usual NSF policies, including inclusion of biographical sketches, budgets and budget justifications, lists of references, data management plans, etc. And full proposals can be submitted either through Fastlane or grants.gov. Now, one requirement that is different from the usual submissions to NSF is a statement of consent that gives NSF permission to share proposals targeted to the synergy aspect of the solicitation and any reviews and other related information with Intel. This statement of consent needs to be uploaded into Fastlane or grants.gov as a supplemental document. There's no particular format for this statement, but we expect it will be no more than about a page. Intel will treat your proposal as proprietary. Now, the proposal review process will be conducted by NSF according to the standard rules and procedures in place for NSF proposals. The review and award recommendations will be coordinated by a joint NSF and Intel working group of program officers from both NSF and Intel. Projects that are selected for joint funding by both NSF and Intel will be funded under two funding instruments. That is, NSF support will be provided via an NSF grant, and Intel support will be provided by an Intel contract. Note that not all projects will necessarily be jointly funded. NSF or Intel may decide to fund certain projects separately. The budget submitted with the proposal should include all necessary project funds without regard of the two funding organizations. The budget will be divided subsequent to selection. Now, NSF and Intel expect to jointly fund two synergy proposals. These are the larger proposals at the $3 million ceiling. Such proposals are expected to take a holistic view of the challenges in protecting cyber-physical systems. In particular, we expect such proposals to account for technical, human, social, policy, and economics factors. Due to their multidisciplinary nature, synergy proposals must have a separate two-page collaboration plan. In addition to the standard NSF intellectual merit and broader impact review criteria, synergy proposals will be evaluated using two solicitation-specific review criteria. First, the degree of integration of the technical research with the broader security complex in CPS. Second, how well the proposal pursues the development of a systems perspective and drive toward demonstrations of interrelated component research ideas. Now, for breakthrough proposals, those will be funded exclusively by NSF, and we expect to fund approximately four such projects. Our goal with breakthrough proposals is to bring together the CPS and SATSI communities. Thus, we expect such proposals to involve at least two PIs representing the respective communities. A separate two-page collaboration plan is required again. Now, NSF and Intel will manage the respective awards according to their own procedures and guidelines. Specifically for synergy proposals, this means that Intel funds will be made available under contract, specific conditions relating to Intel access to intellectual property developed through research supported with these funds. Specifically, synergy projects agree to distribute all source code that has been authored while working on an NSF Intel Synergy Award under a BSD, Apache, or other equivalent open source license, but not GNU's GPL, LGPL artistic license, or the Mozilla public license. And you can see the solicitation for specific guidelines beyond these particular examples. Now, synergy projects, in addition, synergy projects that generate data or software agree not to incorporate into such data or software any third-party code or background intellectual property, except by separate pre-arrangement with NSF and Intel, if this incorporation would limit or restrict this ability to be distributed under an open source license. And finally, awardees may file patent applications, providing that they grant to Intel a non-exclusive worldwide, royalty-free, sub-licensable license to all intellectual property rights in any inventions or works of authorship resulting from research conducted under the joint award. Note that these conditions relating to intellectual property do not apply to breakthrough awards. Intel may separately fund its own personnel to directly participate in partnership research, either part-time or full-time, with the university's awarded Synergy Awards. These Intel researchers will work alongside the academic researchers, identifying opportunities for technology transfer, and they will be involved with the projects as advisors or as fellow researchers. Such deployment of Intel researchers in residence on campuses will require mutual consent by parties and respective awardees in the project management plan for each Synergy Award. Further, Intel may designate one of its more senior, separately funded researchers to work alongside Synergy PIs. The senior researcher would help manage the project as a member of the project management team. He or she would inject a perspective on commercial aspects and help with the day-to-day leadership of the center. He or she would also be responsible for working with the Intel program director to oversee the engagement of all other Intel researchers. Now, all awardees must submit annual reports to the respective funding agency. If a project is co-funded by NSF and Intel, as will be the case with the Synergy Awards, then the PI must submit reports to both NSF and Intel, but these reports are similar in content. One or more project representatives from an awarded CPS security project must attend the next NSF SATSI PI meeting after the award is made. Now, for Synergy Awards, Intel will also conduct annual retreats and may conduct on-site annual reviews jointly with NSF. Intel may also lead the organization of phone calls with project teams, and NSF may participate in these calls at its discretion. And this brings us to the end of our prepared slides. The takeaway I want you to take from this presentation is that we, NSF and Intel, view CPS security as an exciting new opportunity for NSF-funded researchers to work closely with industry and to explore an increasingly important area domain. And we hope that CPS security researchers will help provide the assurance that socio-technical cyber-physical systems will be secure and trustworthy into the future. I remind you that full proposals are due on October 28th, and preliminary proposals for participation in the Ideas Lab are due on July 29th. And if you have any questions after this webinar is done, please feel free to contact an NSF or Intel program officer with questions. Our contact information will be on one of the slides following this. And at this point, I will ask the operator to open the line for any questions.
Certainly. If you would like to ask any questions at this time, you may do so by pressing star 1. Please record your first and last name, as your name is required to introduce the question. To withdraw a question, you may do so by pressing star 2. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, you may do so at this time. One moment for our first question, please. Our first question comes from Rakesh Boba. Your line is now open, sir.
Thank you. Hi. Regarding participating in the Ideas Lab, that the white paper should be with one PI. If invited, could more co-PIs be added? So how does that process work? Because breakthroughs require at least two co-PIs, but the white paper is only one person. So.
Great question. So the preliminary proposals must be single PI only. For full proposals, obviously, we expect more than one PI. Now, you can find co-PIs either through the Ideas Lab or form a team after the Ideas Lab with researchers from your institution or other institutions. There are no restrictions after that. So there's no restriction as to who can be a PI or co-PI on the full proposals, other than that they must be the proposals must come from a U.S. University or college.
Thank you.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, you may do so at this time. Simply press star 1. Please record your first and last name, as your name is required to introduce the question. Our next question comes from Sidon Mohan. Your line is now open.
Hi. So is the Intel partnerships, are they only limited to the synergy proposals? Because you said that the Intel researchers and collaborators are more going to be focused on the synergy proposals. So is their participation only limited there, or would they be actively considering the smaller proposals as well for funding or for collaboration?
So from a programmatic point of view, Intel is co-funding the synergy proposals, which are the $3 million over 3 years awards. So to the extent that there are contractual obligations and interactions with Intel, that applies only to those proposals. Having said that, Intel will know the breakthrough proposals that have been funded, and should they choose to interact with the PIs, NSF will certainly not object.
Our next question comes from Sven Dietrich. Your line is now open.
Yes, I have a question about, I realize it's a U.S. university only. Is it possible to bring in non-U.S. university as part of the proposal in any shape or form?
That's a good question. The answer is, as a subcontractor on a case-by-case basis, we will have to evaluate whether this is something that will be permitted. So if you are thinking about doing this, please contact us after this webinar with the details.
Great, thank you.
There are no further questions in queue at this time.
Okay. Let me clarify some points, perhaps, that we think might be worth repeating in terms of questions that might arise later. If you can go to slide 30, please. Award-related. So we expect six awards to be made this year out of the CPS security program, four of which will be breakthrough and two synergy. As always, this is a subject to availability of funds. And for the synergy awards, we expect that the NSF part will be funded as usual under a grant vehicle, whereas the Intel funding agreement will be under a contract, which has its own relations that I described earlier and are described in solicitation in more detail. Are there any more questions?
The instructions are, if you would like to pose a question, you may do so at this time by pressing star 1. One moment, please. Mr. Kevin Butler, your line is open, sir.
Hi. Are there going to be any deliverables, any public deliverables that come out of the Ideas Lab for those of us who won't be able to attend? Or is it going to be strictly limited, all of the materials generated and created, and any subsequent reports will only be for the attendees?
That's a good question. At this point, there is no expectation that there will be public deliverables out of the Ideas Lab.
Once again, the lines are open for questioning.
Turn to slide 33, please. So I will also reiterate, in terms of intellectual property stipulations, for synergy awards, under the standard Intel contract, the university receives, retains ownership of any intellectual property developed, and Intel receives a non-exclusive royalty-free license for any such intellectual property. That only applies to synergy awards. For breakthrough awards, these are standard NSF awards that have no participation by Intel, and the university retains full ownership.
We have a question in queue. Mr. Joseph Van Brenon, your line is open. Joseph, your line is open. You may want to check to see if it's on mute.
Yes, thank you. My question was regarding the preliminary proposals for the Ideas Lab. As part of those requirements, there does not appear to be any technical component to them, any actual ideas for the preliminary proposal for the Ideas Lab itself. How do you plan on sorting through those, deciding who will be invited to the Ideas Lab, especially since the turnaround time is fairly quick?
Indeed it is. So a key deciding factor on the who will be invited will be how well they play with others. The Ideas Lab, as I said, is a immersive, highly interactive residential workshop. You're expected to spend all 5 days interacting with the other participants, so no running away for dinner elsewhere in D.C., and so that will be a key deciding factor. Now, within the questions that we do ask you to address in those two pages, it is entirely feasible for you to express any, very succinctly, obviously, any ideas you may have about specific research directions or broader vision, and that will also be taken into consideration. But we don't expect a description of what you're going to do in the full proposal articulated within the preliminary proposals. The Ideas Lab really is about working and developing and refining ideas.
Our next question comes from Salman Zanos. Your line is open.
Probably muted.
Please make sure that your line is not on mute.
Hello?
Hi.
Oh, yes. Sorry. So the question is about, like, you mentioned Intel TI may be on the project. So I was just wondering if what kind of, help or contribution would that be? Would that be at the research level or any Intel facility may also be provided? Or, like, any data, real data?
Well, let me turn this question over to my colleagues at Intel to answer. Chris?
Intel hopes to provide collaborations in this project with Intel researchers, and we're not planning to provide facilities or anything like that, but our goal is to help people understand the industry context and to be partners for transitioning the technology that comes out of this if and when the time is right.
Thank you, Chris.
Once again, at this time, if you would like to ask a question, you may do so. Please remember to record your first and last name, as your name is required to introduce the question. You may do so by pressing star 1 at this time.
So while we're waiting for perhaps additional questions, let me also clarify that for Synergy Awards, PIs are expected to attend both the NSF biennial SATSI PI meetings and the annual Intel reviews. For Breakthrough Awards, only the NSF biennial SATSI PI meeting attendance is required. And similarly for reporting, annual reporting requirements, both kinds of projects have to submit an annual report to NSF. Synergy Awards require also a report to Intel, but the contents of the two reports are similar, so we don't expect undue burden.
We have a question from Chen Sir Wang. Your line is open.
Okay, thank you. So my question is, we have three people interested in collaborating for a proposal, but two of us will be unavailable during the dates for the Ideal Lab. Is it possible for the one who is available to use her name, and we come up with ideas together, and then she will write a pre-proposal to compete for the opportunity for Ideal Lab?
Okay. So I want to make it clear that the preliminary proposals that are 2 pages long,
right,
ask for specific content, specific questions to be answered, and those questions are of a fairly, I wouldn't say necessarily personal nature, but they don't make sense to answer in terms of a group. We're trying to determine how well the PI, the submitter, is likely to play with others in developing and refining ideas. So I would suggest that the one person from your team that can participate to submit a preliminary proposal simply by herself, and then if she's invited and attends the Ideas Lab and you decide to submit a full proposal, then you can all three of you work together for a full proposal.
Okay, thank you.
There are no further questions in queue at this time.
We'll give it another 30 seconds if people want to ask any questions, and after that, we will end this webinar.
Certainly, at this time, the lines are open for question and answer. If you have a question, you may do so by pressing star 1. Please record your first and last name clearly.
Thank you. no questions, I'll just close again by...
Excuse me, sir.
Sorry.
It looks like he actually retracted his question. And there was a gentleman that I believe had a question in queue. It looks like he pulled it down. My apologies.
I didn't mean to scare you, whoever you were. But so we hope that all of you that are watching us now or later on your DVRs will find this opportunity to participate in this program as exciting as we think it is. And this is a very interesting and important space now and increasingly so in the future. So I remind you that proposals for full proposals are due on October 28th and preliminary proposals are due on July 29th. And feel free to contact us by email or phone if you have any questions. Thank you.
This now concludes today's conference. All lines may disconnect at this time.